You see, perfect storms aren't something that just Hollywood dreams up. They are real. And people like Rhonda are real, who wake up every day in the reality of such hardship. And some of you have gone through the same. But I want you to look closely this morning at verse 7, as some of the songs we have sung this morning so beautifully describe the peace of God. You notice the progression in the passage? Paul writes and he says, if we will do our part, God will do His. If we will rejoice in the Lord, that's in verse 4. If we will pursue a gentle spirit, that is in verse 5. If we will pray about everything, that is in verse 6. And do so with an attitude of gratitude, thanksgiving, and that is in verse 6. Then he says in verse 7, God will do His part. But I want you to notice closely at verse 7 that this peace of God is not peace from God. That's not what it says. It says the peace of God. He gives you a peace of His peace. He downloads tranquility from the throne into your life. And Paul says it provides inexplicable calm. Explain that. Well, you can't explain that. You can't explain what Paul says in verse 7. You can't even comprehend. It is a peace that defies logic. It is a peace that defies some kind of human explanation, transcending every effort that you and I use to try to describe it. Jesus offered the same to His men in John 14 and verse 27. In John 14 and verse 27, He talks about the perfect storm. He says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. Jesus said, I give you my peace. The same peace that calmed His heart when He was falsely accused. The same peace that steadied His voice when He stood before Pilate. The same peace that kept His mind clear and His heart pure as He hung upon the cross. He said, this is my peace and I give my peace to you. And that's what Paul says in Philippians chapter 4. The peace of God will guard your minds and hearts in Christ Jesus. You know, Paul is writing this after he had come to Rome. But it wasn't exactly an easy way there. If you go back to Acts 27, you read about the perfect storm. Paul knew all about that. When you come to Acts 27, that section in the book of Acts that we don't read about very much, we kind of skip over. But Dr. Luke describes a journey that he and Paul were on, leaving the port city of Caesarea, crossing the Mediterranean all the way to Italy. And there they encountered it. The perfect storm. It started out tranquil enough. Verse 1, when it was decided that we should sail for Italy, they proceeded to deliver Paul and some other prisoners to a centurion of the Augustan cohort named Julius. And so Luke begins to tell us about the journey and how they had set sail. And finally they had to change ships in verse 5 and verse 6 and verse 7. Verse 9. When considerable time had passed and the voyage was now dangerous, since even the fast was already over, Paul began to admonish them and said unto them, men, I perceive that the voyage will certainly be with damage and great loss, not only of the cargo and the ship, but our own lives. But the centurion was more persuaded by the pilot and the captain than by what was said by Paul. Why, sure he was. Paul was a preacher. The captain was a seasoned sailor. And so they pressed on. Come on down to verse 14. Before long, there rushed down from the land a violent wind called an Aquilo. I have a marginal reading. And my marginal reading says a northeaster. We shortened that. It was a nor'easter. That's what it says. Verse 15, and when the ship was caught in it and could not face the wind, we gave way to it and let ourselves be driven along. And he talks about how the storm just grew worse. Verse 18, the next day as we were being violently storm-tossed, they began to jettison the cargo. They began to be discouraged. Verse 22, Paul says, I urge you to keep up your courage. For there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For this very night an angel of the Lord to whom I belong, to whom I serve, stood before me. And he said, do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar. And behold, God has granted you all those who are sailing with you. Therefore, keep up your courage, for I believe God. Verse 27, the 14th night, 2 weeks. We were being driven along in the Adriatic. About midnight, the sailors began to surmise they were approaching land. And they took soundings and found it to be 20 fathoms. 1 fathom is 6 feet. You can do the math. And a little further, they took another sounding and found it to be 15 fathoms. Fearing that we might run aground somewhere on the rocks, they cast the anchors from the storm, from the stern, and wished for daybreak. Skip down to verse 39. When day came, they could not recognize the land, but they did observe a bay with a beach, and they resolved to drive the ship onto it. Verse 40, they cast off the anchors and left them in the sea, while at the same time they were loosening the ropes of the rudders and hoisting the foresail to the wind and heading for the beach. But striking a reef where 2 seas met, they ran the vessel aground, and the prow stuck fast and remained immovable, but the stern began to be broken up by the force of the waves. The soldiers' plan was to kill the prisoners so that none of them would swim away and escape. But the centurion, wanting to bring Paul safely through, kept them from their intention and commanded that those who could swim jump overboard and get to land. Verse 44, and the rest would follow, some on planks and others on various things from the ship. And so it happened that they were all brought safely to land. It was the perfect storm. 14 days of unrelenting winds and bouncing like a tiny toy upon the seas. One moment they were climbing toward the heavens and the next moment they were plunging down into the depths. They had lost all hope for life. And that's when Paul spoke. And that's when Paul said in verse 22, keep up your courage. And again in verse 25, keep up your courage, for I believe God. I want to leave you with 3 things. If you've got your notes this morning, just quickly jot them down. Number one, 3 perfect storm truths. Number one, you're not in it alone. Do you see that in verse 23? He says, for this very night, an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood before me. On the deck of a sinking ship, in the middle of this perfect storm, Paul learned he was not alone. Question. Do I understand how God uses His angelic servants to help us? I don't understand that. Do I believe that He does? Absolutely. You say, you got scripture for that? Yeah, hold your finger here. Hebrews 1 and verse 14 says that. Hebrews 1 and verse 14 says, are they angels? Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to render service for the sake of those who will inherit salvation? I think that's you and me. Now, how God does all of that, I don't know. But here's the question. Have your prayers met with a silent sky? Have you gone through tough times and you prayed and prayed and prayed again and nothing? Are you floundering in the in-between? Sea and shore? Offered prayer and answered prayer and here you are in the middle? then we must do what Paul said to do in verse 22. He said to them, keep up your courage. And again in verse 25, keep up your courage. Translate, do not give up. Because you're not alone. You're never alone. Paul wasn't alone. You're not alone. Secondly, you're not alone because you belong. Look closely at verse 23. For this very night an angel of the God to whom I belong. Any of y'all going to summer camp? Any of y'all going to summer camp? Okay. Leanne, what are you doing sitting there? When you go to summer camp, your parents have to sign a document. I mean, if Jake breaks his leg, I mean, who's the responsible party? And so hopefully your parents will sign the document that says they will be responsible. Well, I'll tell you something. When you became a Christian, God signed his name for you. When you give him your life, he gives you his name. You're his child. As Paul says in Galatians 4, you're no longer a servant, you're a son. So you and I can have peace even in the middle of a storm because we understand we're not alone. We belong. And that's what he says in verse 23. The God to whom I belong. Hebrews 13:5, I will never desert you. I will never leave you. So you are not alone because you belong. And thirdly, you are not alone because you are in his service. There's something he wants you to do. Look closely at verse 23. I belong and whom I serve. You see, God had given Paul an assignment to take the gospel to Rome. He hadn't arrived there. And so his assignment was incomplete. So he knew that he would arrive, which means he knew that he would survive. We don't have the same assurance he had, but we still have blessed assurance that God's going to leave us here as long as he wants us here. As long as you're breathing in his oxygen and taking up space upon his planet, apparently you have a purpose. Apparently you have a reason. That doesn't mean there won't be storms. There will. You may lose your ship. You may have to jump overboard and swim to shore. You may lose your spouse. You may lose your health. You may lose your business. There's a lot of things you might lose along the way. The problem is when the storm hits, we think we've lost it all. And that's the whole point. You can lose it all to discover that you haven't lost it all. God has been there all along. He never promises us a life without storms. He simply says, I will be with you and help you get through them. Nor'easters bear down, perfect storm. Contrary winds and churning seas and pounding rain. And sometimes we just think it's going to take me under. And that's when Jesus stands up and he says, peace be still. Sometimes he calms the storm. Most of the time, he calms you. I want to close this morning in Isaiah 43. Please take a moment and go there. Isaiah 43, verses 1, 2, and 3. Isaiah 43, verses 1, 2, and 3. But now thus says the Lord your Creator, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, there's your storm. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. When you pass, verse 2, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. You may face the perfect storm. But Jesus will give you the perfect peace if you'll take it. If you'll take it. We sing the song of invitation. If you're not a Christian, take His hand. Obey the gospel and be buried in baptism for the remission of your sins. Take His hand. If you've walked away and owe a duty to Him and you need to come home, take His hand. And in so doing, find the peace that passes all understanding. Won't you come while we stand and sing?